I'm Brett Chang.
And I am Jay Rosenthal, and this is your Peak Daily for Tuesday, April 9th, where we cover the biggest stories in Canadian and global business, finance, and tech, all in less than 7 minutes.
So, Jay, did you see the eclipse today? Or yesterday? Sorry, we're recording this today, but for yesterday.
I was in Toronto, so like nearly everybody in Toronto, I saw it like a little teeny bit at the beginning and a little teeny bit at the end, and it did get dark, but it was really overcast. You?
I was lucky. I went out to Burlington, Ontario, and I saw totality. It was pretty cool. It was worth doing. It was just, you know what I like the most about it though, Jay, is it was a fun, big community event. There were lots of people all doing the same thing and excited about it. People were cheering and it was all ages and types of people. So that was a really fun experience.
The instinct to look up at the sun, even though you absolutely know you're not supposed to, is strangely compelling. And then it did hurt your eyes.
The crazy thing about the glasses, which I didn't understand, is they're not like sunglasses. You just can't see anything except the sun.
Right.
And as I was doing it, I thought more and I was like, I guess the reason for the glasses is that you're never really supposed to look at the sun. And this shouldn't be an excuse to look at the sun, but you still want to be able to see what's going on. So they have to find a way for you to look at the sun. But you could probably use those glasses any day and look at the sun and it would be okay.
Did you happen to catch, this is quasi-sun related, but sunny your eyes related and hockey related, I think it was the goalie of the Washington Capitals.
I saw this,
over the weekend, because they were playing a day game, unusual, and there was a curtain in a, I don't know, like right in his eyesight. He got sun in his eyes, which never ever happens. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, Corpus Solo. Yeah, it was, I guess they have glass on the arena and it bled into the arena. The other place that does happen is at Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, which is a sunken arena. So ground floor is the 300s, and then you go down. But they have a method where they close the blinds to prevent the sun from coming in when the game starts, which I think was kind of neat too. Anyways, it's a lot of sun talk these days.
It's a lot of sun talk. And actually, I know this as well, at Coca-Cola Coliseum, where my Marlies play, they have huge curtains at the right angle. You don't see the sun, but you can see the Gardner Expressway and cars speeding by, because that's exactly where it is, right at the Gardner. Brett, aside from the sun and in people's eyes, what do we have to speak about today?
For our first story, Canada goes on the offensive with new defense funding. For our second story, RBC fires CFO over personal relationship and our big picture.
For our first story, after catching flak for not spending enough on defense, the feds fished around their proverbial couch cushions and came up with a hefty chunk of change. Brett, how much are they planning to spend?
Yeah, so here's what's happening. As part of Canada's first major defense policy update since 2017, the Canadian Armed Forces will receive an additional $8.1 billion in federal funding over the next 5 years. The policy's two high-priority areas of focus are cybersecurity and Arctic defense.
Over the 5 years, $917 million will go towards bolstering intelligence and cyber operations as Canada's cyber defenses lag due to poor staffing and training, per a 2021 internal report.
Meanwhile, as Russia grows increasingly aggressive and climate change opens up northern waterways, the Arctic has been flagged as a newly important risk area.
The new policy is slated to last for 20 years, with reviews happening every 4 years, and over that time is projected to result in $73 billion in new spending.
And it matters because Canada is now poised to spend 1.76% of its GDP on defense by 2029-2030. While still shy of the 2% target it's obligated to hit as a NATO member, this is a sign that it could reach that target one day, something that supposedly was never going to happen.
Yeah, skimpy defense spending has hurt Canada's ties with security partners. An effort to at least try to reach NATO's target could help Canada get back in their good books.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg called the new plan a step in the right direction, while David Cohen, the U.S. ambassador to Canada, called it real progress.
To zoom out, to justify spending any more on defense, the Canadian Armed Forces needs to get its numbers up. The military was short 15,000 active duty personnel as of 2023 and is, generally speaking, unprepared. To fill these gaps, Defense Minister Bill Blair wants to modernize the recruitment process.
For our second story, while RBC has been focused on formalizing its new relationship with HSBC, a secret relationship among the bank's highest ranks has shaken up the executive team.
Yeah, Brett, here's what's happened. Nadine Ahn, the now former CFO of Canada's biggest bank, was fired after an investigation revealed that she had an undisclosed relationship with another high-ranking employee. The relationship reportedly led to special treatment, like raises and promotions.
According to the Globe and Mail, the man in question is Ken Mason of the bank's Treasury Department, which is responsible for the bank's liquidity and financial risks. Mason was also fired.
I thought the perks might be like free checking, but it wasn't. A complaint about the relationship was made on the bank's internal confidential tip line called Speak Up nearly a month ago, which kicked off the investigation.
It matters because On was reportedly seen as a contender to succeed RBC's CEO, Dave McKay, which would make her one of the relatively few women who have ever been considered to lead a major Canadian bank.
McKay recently celebrated a decade in his role. His target compensation for 2024 is $17 million, while the average tenure for financial services CEO is about 11 years. This is all according to Bloomberg.
To zoom out, Canada's banking regulator recently identified character and culture as a non-financial risk and said it would monitor the culture cultivated by senior leaders and the corporate governance structures that dictate how and when decisions are made.
And for our big picture today, Uber Eats is piloting a TikTok-like video feed. Before you say, no thanks, the new feature is supposed to boost discovery for local restaurants. And if we've learned anything from sitting on TikTok, will most likely keep users on the app longer. The feed is being piloted in Toronto, New York, and San Francisco, and comes at no cost to merchants.
A deal to strengthen the U.S. chip industry, TSMC, the largest semiconductor chip producer, will receive $6.6 billion in grants and $5 billion in loans under the CHIPS Act to set up a third factory in Arizona. The act aims to bring manufacturing to the U.S. and prohibits recipients from increasing their manufacturing footprint in China.
The housing crisis isn't going away. Between the national benchmark home price sitting at $720,500 and a stressed rental market, an RBC report says Canada needs housing policy reform. The report suggests solutions like prioritizing construction skills for new immigrants. The Fed's announced multiple policy proposals ahead of next week's budget.
Peak Pals, thanks for making us the most listened to business news podcast in Canada.
If you got a second one, follow this podcast on your app of choice and leave us a review.
And if you want more Peak, make sure to subscribe to our daily newsletter at readthepeak.com.
Have a great day, Peak Pals.